It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC from the gorgeous Stage 17 studio. And my guest this evening is none other than Beth Comstock. But more about her, and then we'll get directly to the interview. Of course, we're on the 77 WABC app and on MYB Radio, coming to you worldwide. We thank you. The Nielsen ratings has us in the top 10 consistently in AM radio. I will tell you, the month that Beth was on last time, which I believe was March, we came in number 3. And I actually said on the radio, I said, with Beth, I'll probably come in number 1. We didn't come in 1, we came in 3. And remember, that's at a time when I think it was March Madness, and we're up against a lot of competition on Sunday night at 10 p.m. But certainly having Beth Comstock is a very big a ratings grabber. Yeah, that's for sure. This show, Mind Your Business, on the legendary 77 WABC is all about you, the great listener of this program. We cover such a wide range of business professions and categories, including strategic planning, leadership, entrepreneurship, marketing and advertising, time management, hiring, customer retention, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where it's certain that you will gain advice to get you ahead in today's business world. Well, as we do each week, we open with some thank you. Special thank you to the great team at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays such an important support role for the program. Srili, Michal, Eliana, Miriam, Dina, thank you. And to the great folks here at 77 WABC, James, Matt, Chris, Lexi, Justin. Also, a special shout out to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. We're on C-Suite TV, C-Suite Radio. Special shout out to Jeffrey Hazlett, who got me in touch with Beth initially. We have a new column in the Jewish Home. We're on the OG Podcast Network, Player.fm, iTunes, YouTube. We have a robust YouTube channel. Tonight's episode will be up on YouTube. Also, our average downloads through the podcast are around 1,000 plus a week. There were some weeks I think we hit like 1,200. So it's very popular. You can access every past show by going to mybradio.com. MYBradio.com. Just a little teaser of some of the past guests we've had on the show. John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi. Dawn Fay, district president at Robert Haft. Dick Scholes, founder and chairman emeritus of Best Buy. Joe Hart, president and CEO of Dale Carnegie. The list goes on and on. All fantastic guests. They're all available by going to MYBradio.com, MYBradio.com. Well, without further ado, going to tonight's amazing guest with us in studio at the Stage 17, 77 WABC studio, former vice chair of GE, Beth Comstock. Needs no introduction, but I'm still going to introduce her a little bit more. She was also the president of Integrated Media at NBC Universal. She's a director at Nike. And, of course, her recent book, Imagine It Forward, is a must-read for anyone who wants to get ahead in today's business world. And that's why the format for tonight's show is going to be a little different than other formats. We requested, and she agreed, thank you, Beth, that over the next few months, we're going to have a five-part series from her book. Her book is broken into five sections. Each one is a gold mine. If you want to get ahead in today's business world, Imagine It Forward. This is the book. It's available at bookstores nationwide. It's available on Amazon. Read the reviews. I was honored to give a review there because it is that good. And what is it? The way I put it in my review is that it's the merge of EQ and IQ. There are many books out there that just go into the brains of an operation but kind of ignore the human side. And, of course, if you ignore the human side, you will not be successful. It's that simple. There's so many examples of people that are very, very bright but have not climbed the corporate ladder because they ignore the fundamentals on dealing with different people. This book covers both sides, and that's why, Beth, this is just a masterpiece.
Thanks, Yitzhak. Great to be with you again. Thank you. Congrats on the new studio.
Looks
fantastic.
Thank you. Very, very special. We're going
to
jump
right
in.
Really nice to be here. I had a great time with you last time.
Thank you.
I look forward to it today.
Thank you. Well, and as you mentioned last time, you said anything goes.
Yeah.
So we're going to get. Now, I also want to stress, some people might be thinking, say, you know what? I don't need to buy the book. By the way, this book, it's officially $30, all right? It's worth like $3 million, or you want to say $300,000, whatever it is, because she doesn't put officially a guarantee because it's just going to get too complicated. But at the end of the day, you're guaranteed to scale your business. I've used these things for Bottom Line Marketing Group, some of the lessons from here, and I've seen myself scale already. That's great to hear.
Really.
Thank you. This is real. But this is the type of book you got to read and do it my way. You got to underline it, read it again.
I'm impressed.
Highlight it. This book is worth your
time. Looks like my copy.
So we're going to jump right in and go through. So now, some people might be thinking, you know what? I'll just listen to this five-part series. I don't need to buy the book. Let me explain to you why that's a mistake. And that is, this is like play-by-play. Right? It's like someone goes to a ball game, and then there's some people that just kind of listen to it later. Okay, you get something out of it, but the experience is totally different. However, if you read the book and you hear my questions, you'll see this book will even come more to life because it's like the play-by-play.
Thank you.
So we're going to go to the introduction on page XV. Okay. And the imperative to pivot and even venture into the uncertainty when moving forward. I'm just going to read a quote here. It's easier to keep your nose to the grindstone, do what you are doing, and do it well, than it is to lift up your head and figure out where you or your organization is going and what the future may bring. It's usually not until an organization is engulfed by chaos, or more simply, wakes up to the stark reality that it has been left behind, that it begins to seek a new way forward. And one more quote here before you jump in, Beth. One of the defining characteristics of our new age is of rapid fire change is that leaders, managers, and employees have to be able to move forward without having all the answers.
Yeah, I'm glad you highlighted that. I feel so passionately about those words. And I think that's the challenge in business today is it's all about optimization and heads down and focus.
Right.
Time's precious, obviously.
Right.
But we don't pick our head up enough to say what's next, what's new. Here's a thought experiment that I want to challenge you and your listeners. So imagine you go home tonight, you go to sleep, and you're thinking about a constant that you think is never going to change.
Okay.
So, you go to sleep, you wake up tomorrow, and you read the paper, you read whatever news device you have, and you realize that there's been a big disruption. How do you feel? Are you excited? Are you nervous?
You're ready to go back to bed.
Panicked? And I think that those simple exercises as part of how you run your business, if you had been in the taxi business, you might have done that as you started to see something come along called Uber or Lyft.
Right.
I worked in the energy space. We started dreaming about a clean tech future, and it seemed so crazy that people could not believe that was going to happen. You just see it time and again. And so I guess my message is practice putting yourself in those situations of ambiguity where you don't know the answer. And just to prove that point, we think that we know what's north and south. That's a constant, right?
Of course.
Earth scientists tell us that the magnetic north and south are shifting. So you can't even take that for granted. So really my message is that do you have a practice to kind of challenge yourself? Not, you know, maybe scare yourself a little bit. The what ifs.
The next question is along the same topic, and that is on two pages later. I've learned that you have to pay close attention to what's emerging before it turns into a crisis or an emergency for your company or industry. Things are good until they aren't.
That's the example we were just talking about. And I saw this when I worked in media and the arrival of streaming video.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, if I take you back to 2006, it was YouTube. And in media, the feeling was, oh, isn't that cute? I think we talked about this a little bit before. Cats playing the piano. That's so cute. And then they'd secretly go, I'm really afraid of that because we're not good at cats playing the piano. We don't know how to do that kind of content. And yet it was they could see it coming, part like dismiss it, part fear, yet they still didn't take it seriously in the media business. And look at today, the power that is Netflix. The streaming video that you see is behind Disney's acquisition of 21st Century. So unfortunately, industry after industry, we don't want to admit the change that's happening, even when it's right in front of us.
My guest this evening is Beth Comstock, former vice chair at General Electric. She was president at NBC, at the integrated media at NBC. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
This is Shia Rubenstein, co-founder of the JCon Real Estate Event, inviting you to our fourth annual real estate conference, which will take place on Tuesday, July 9th, between 5 and 10 p.m. at the Diker Heights Golf Course. Please visit attendjcon.com for more information. This event will feature seminars, networking, speed mentoring, and of course a buffet dinner and the keynote by Ralph Hertzka, CEO and Chairman of Meridian Capital Group. It has speed mentors from almost every major category within the real estate industry, covering investment, hard money, developers, building management. So if you want to have unfettered access and learn from the best, or pitch them or offer them an opportunity, now is your time to get through that red tape. Once again, it will take place on Tuesday, July 9th, and visit attendjcon.com, attendjcon, for more information and to register.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC. Special shout out to all those viewing this and to the great folks here at 77 WABC for allowing us here for the first time into their Stage 17 magnificent television studio. And I'm so honored that the first time it's with Beth Comstock.
Thanks, Yitzhak. Great to be here.
So special. And again, the format of tonight's show is, if you have the book, it probably pays to take it out. And, you know, follow along. I'll indicate what page I'm up to, because I'm highlighting the areas that were so meaningful to me. And it's the play-by-play. We're asking Beth to explain what she had in mind. Okay. We move now to page, in the introduction, XXII. By the way, I'm leaving out some of the interesting parts. You know, she spoke at the CIA. She landed in some forest. She didn't know where they were taking her. Then you got to read the book. This is not a shortcut for buying the book. All right, Imagine It Forward. Imagine It Forward by Beth Comstock. Let me read you the subtitle so you get to know what it is: Courage, Creativity, and the Power of Change. And it's all packed into this 400-page, like she said.
I packed a lot of pages.
She packed a lot of punch into this.
Don't let that scare you.
Absolutely, should not scare you, because it's just all, and it's so readable, and it's so. It's a fun book. It's sometimes maybe not the right thing to say about a business
I'm
book,
glad you
but
feel
it's really
fun. That was the goal.
But it really is. We now move to page XXII in the introduction, and that is, change is a never-ending journey. I love a quote here. Victory does not get neatly wrapped in a bow. I'm going to read just this one short paragraph. So don't look for a simple victory here. When it comes to transforming a culture, everything does not get neatly wrapped in a bow. Many things worked and others didn't. Some things won't play out for years if indeed they are given the chance to take root.
Yeah, I think it's the world we live in. It's certainly business. I mean, as I was finalizing this, there was a lot of change. Still have been a lot of change at GE, the company I'd spent so much time working in. So I feel like in making change, it's very messy. And in business, I think we're taught in business school that it's step one, step two, step three, and then
and it's all going to work.
And it's change management, and everybody just follows the rules. It's messy. There's nothing neat about it. So I felt it was really important to declare that. And then as I was writing it, my company got incredibly messier, and that was living out real time.
But a person can't, I mean, what is screaming from the pages is, you got to give yourself permission, which we're going to talk more later, And don't be afraid that you're going to, you know, the plane is going to head into some turbulence.
Right. I think it is that people are afraid that they, what you said earlier, they don't know the answer. They don't, they're afraid of not knowing. So they don't go forward until they feel they have certainty. But you cannot do that when you're testing and learning your way. And that's part of what we talk about here is how do you kind of de-risk your way forward? So it's not getting rid of risk. You're just narrowing the windows and trying things early and having a different kind of a mindset.
In section one, page 11, ignoring the gatekeepers. Okay, so I'm gonna quote here. A few years ago, Beth had gone and heard a fashion designer, Mark Echo, pronounced it correctly, give an amazing talk in which he distinguished between gatekeepers in his life, which are kind of thought leaders, the press, the critics, whatever, and what he calls the goalkeepers who actually matter. Great. Maybe you can explain that.
No, I love that framing. And if you're a soccer fan, it makes no sense because you're thinking of a goalie as someone who keeps you from making the goal. But this is what I hope every good business leader and manager of people and teams thinks of themselves is your job is to help your team colleagues make the goal. And too often, I don't care if your company's three people, 300, 300,000, what happens is people start to protect their turf. They protect their ideas, they protect their power, and they become gatekeepers. What is that? You don't let an idea or a person who has it through the gates. And I just found, in fact, I documented one of my early examples of working for a manager who was very much a gatekeeper. He said no to everything.
Right.
He didn't share insights. He didn't encourage us. He didn't let us try things. And I felt my only recourse was to leave the company. I did, but as soon as I left, I had been at NBC.
Right.
This was my first time at NBC, but as soon as I left and went to CNN, I realized there are gatekeepers everywhere, and I had to learn a way to work around them. And if for your listeners who maybe are small business owners, I mean, a gatekeeper could be a supplier who wants to do something a different way. Perhaps it's even a customer that just is like, hey, we're always doing this.
Right.
And the message here really is you just have to find different ways to keep working around it. But unfortunately, sometimes you just have to move on.
And of course, that's discussed throughout the book. I'm going to move now to page 15 and 16. One of the things I've discovered over the course of my career is that people who affect radical change have to exhibit an uncompromising faith in experimentation, a radical impatience with the default, a bias for novelty and action, and a sense that disruption is something you engage, not observe.
Yeah, I think it is. It's active. You have to get into it. And that's part of what I try to bring to life, these stories here. I had to get over in my head the sense of, okay, I'm not going to be liked in doing a lot of these things.
Yeah.
Hopefully I will be respected because I will be doing it for the right reason, but I have to prove that. But if you're doing things to be liked or you're doing things because you automatically think everyone's going to see it, you're going to be disappointed.
So we move along. And again, some of these are just different nuances of the same conversation. This is while working at CNN and working alongside Ted Turner. Okay. Genuine change first starts with a mindset. I'm going to read here. Genuine change first starts with a mindset. I needed to psych myself up the way an athlete does before a big game. Before an event, I would map out what I was going to do, what I was going to say. I became just raw energy. He said, hi, I'm Beth Comstock. Yeah. Can you walk us through this?
Yeah. So this is one of those big awakenings where sometimes you realize you're what's holding you back. Here I was now at CNN. I was heading communications in the New York office, and that meant interacting with Ted Turner, the founder, who was kind of the Richard Branson of his day.
Yep.
And I had worked there a year, and he did not know my name. And I did a good job, but I didn't really distinguish myself. I did my job and walked away. And so I remember standing at an event at the United Nations and feeling like I literally blended in with the wall. In fact, I think my dress might have matched the wallpaper, and all you could see was my head. And I was like, I got to change this. I have not connected with this man. I've missed opportunity. So I go up to him, and I say, hey, I want to reintroduce myself. Before I even get my name out, he looks at me like, what are you doing? And I kind of lost my nerve, and he walked away. But I was really proud of myself, and that's why I shared the story. It's so small because I pushed myself to do it. And I remember that became kind of a series of mental behavior changes I had to initiate in myself. Okay, I'm going to go to this event, and I'm just going to go meet one person. I'm going to this meeting. I'm just going to suggest one idea. But it's this idea of giving yourself permission and getting out of your own way. And it can be very small. If you're not introverted, If you're not reserved, you have no idea what I've just talked about. The idea of introducing yourself to someone is fearful, but it's true. I had that.
Moving along to page 22. Okay, working at NBC at a challenging time. This comes back to something we talked about at the beginning part of the show, becoming a fog flyer. Let me read the quote here. With NBC in disaster mode, again, this goes back 30 years ago, I realized the job was about diving into the fog and seeing opportunity where others see only confusion. Some people hate the idea of not having a clear path forward, of not knowing where to go. I am someone who loves wallowing in the impossibility, where I cannot see all the answers, and often use the term fog flyer to describe the excitement and fear I feel navigating ambiguity.
Yeah, it's a mindset shift, right? You take that fear and you just say, okay, I'm in a foggy phase. I know I'll get there. I'm with enough doing it enough times, you start to build confidence in your ability.
Before we go to the break, a final takeaway here for people seeking to get ahead in the business world, for people even jumping in to their careers. So she has on page 25, job crafting. Let me read you a little bit. I often tell people looking for career advice, take the job no one else wants. Now, again, this flies in the face of what conventional wisdom, okay? And she adds, I know this to be true. In nearly every job, there is room for trying new things, for adding projects, for customizing the job your way. One more line here. Focus on the unclaimed areas of opportunity. Every business has them. So maybe you could break it out first for those that are just entering the workforce and for those that are climbing the corporate ladder.
Well, for the ones just entering the workforce, I mean, the good news is the early part of your career is a lot of trial and error. Okay. And that's probably different than what people have told you, that, you know, your first job counts. And from there, you've got to be CEO in like 5 years or something. That's not going to happen.
Right.
And so I think if you think about partly you're building your skills and you're also figuring out where you want to build your career.
Right.
And I found that often the jobs other people didn't want provided me the best opportunity. I mean, I went into PR when a lot of people were going into journalism. I went into marketing when no one knew what it was in the companies I worked in. And what I'm saying to you is often the expectations are pretty low in some of those areas that people are like, oh, I want the prime programmer. I want only this job. But if you see something in it and you see an opportunity, often you have much more room to do what I also talk about is job crafting.
Right.
You take a job. Clearly, there's a set of responsibilities that you have to fulfill for the company. But there may be other things you want to add to that. I don't know. Maybe you want to put out a newsletter for your colleagues. Maybe you want to organize customer events. Can you start to add some of those responsibilities to your role? Take advantage of the opportunity once you're in that role. So it's a bit of agency. It's a bit of saying things and grabbing onto things. Now, not every boss is going to go for it. Not every company will let you. But my message here is use your job as a way to build your skills, to bring your unique perspective to it, not just do it every single step of the rule of the job description. So that's what I mean about job crafting. For someone managing a team, a leader of a team, I think two things. One, you have to be able to give your team, your people on your team, some freedom. Yes, here's what's in our framework. It's very clear. Here's what I expect from you. Here's what your accountability. But give them room to fail. Give them room to try things. Give them, if you see they're good at design, maybe give them some projects that allow them to be more of a designer. If they're good with customer but they're not in sales, maybe they can go along with the salesperson. So can you create more opportunity? What are you doing with this? You're testing for an entrepreneurial spirit. You're encouraging your team to figure it out. Back to ambiguity, people can't wait for you to tell them everything to do.
Right.
You can't be everywhere. So partly you're giving your team room to kind of show their skills and figure things out.
And even though in many companies there is a job description and there is a certain amount of rigidity, if you will, but still you got to give people space to exercise their talent.
A little bit of space. I mean, you know, they're just certain. Do you have to micromanage everything?
Right.
No. I'd argue you are not a good manager. In fact, we can come back to it later, but I actually think this notion of managing people is really an old idea. You encourage people, you coach them, you inspire them, you help them. But how are they going to be doing a good job? So I think it's just that's part of the mindset shift. There's a bit of entrepreneurial spirit you're trying to unearth in your team.
Beth Comstock is my guest. She was a former vice chair at GE. again, when she talks about working with teams, there were 300,000 people kind of under her purview, and of course under the executive team.
Not all under,
not
there, but
all,
there was a big company.
But
they, yeah.
It was a very, very, one of the world's largest, you know, certainly. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
This is Shia Rubenstein, co-founder of the JCon Real Estate Event, inviting you to our fourth annual real estate conference, which will take place on Tuesday, July 9th, between 5 and 10 p.m. at the Diker Heights Golf Course. Please visit attendjcon.com for more information. This event will feature seminars, networking, speed mentoring, and of course a buffet dinner and the keynote by Ralph Hertzka, CEO and Chairman of Meridian Capital Group. It has speed mentors from almost every major category within the real estate industry, covering investment, hard money, developers, building management. So if you want to have unfettered access and learn from the best, or pitch them or offer them an opportunity, now is your time to get through that red tape. Once again, it will take place on Tuesday, July 9th, and visit attendjcon.com, attendjcon, for more information and to register.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. For those viewing this segment, you're wondering, wow, what a studio. Well, we're on stage 17. You can find out more about it by going to 77 WABC's website, which is wabcradio.com. It is available for special functions, and it's a crazy cool venue, let me tell you. And we're so honored and touched that they allowed us, especially because I had such a great guest, Beth Comstock in studio. Thank you,
Thanks,
Beth.
It's good to be here.
For joining me here. Well, we're going through her book, Imagine It Forward. It's available at bookstores nationwide, in airport terminals. You'll see it everywhere, and there's a good reason for that. And the answer is because it's a must-read. For anyone in business, you're scaling the corporate ladder, you're just venturing into the business world, this is the book. I don't want, maybe, you know, it's radio, so sometimes you could say something and get you in trouble. I'm going to say something, I just hope I don't get into trouble. The $30 for this book is probably more valuable than the $30,000 you'll pay for a year in college education. I don't want Beth to comment because I don't want her to get in trouble, but let me tell you, the value is here.
Well, thank you.
We'll put it that way. So, like this, you don't have to get in trouble on that comment.
Well, thank you for that.
Okay. we're going to page 27 in section one. Okay, this is a great story. Okay, she was at she was at NBC. The senior vice president left NBC, and then Beth felt that the spot opened up, and she was a natural for it. And you know, I'm going to read here a quote. I saw myself as next in line, a big promotion. I was convinced, right, was my due, and then nothing happened. Months went by. The position was not filled, and then she has a great discussion about, because she expected the managers to just like, okay, you know, like, why am I not getting it? They must know I want it. Managers are not mind readers.
How would they know it if I didn't declare it? And I had not declared my intention, so I had to change that.
So you are a fan of over-communication?
I am. Now I am. And I think especially in the engagement you have with your team leader, or if you're a team leader, you need to check in on a regular basis. If somebody has, let's say, they can't take a new assignment because they have a sick relative, or right, their parents aren't doing well, don't assume that's going to always be the case. So always have a process of checking in with people. And in this case, I went to the head of HR and I said, I'd like to have this job. And he said, well, we thought of you, but you're a mother of young children and this requires a lot of travel and we thought that wouldn't be right for you. Oh, I was so frustrated at both of us. At myself, because I had never declared it, and here they had thought about it and passed me by. And I was frustrated with him because he made assumptions about me.
Right, why didn't you ask?
Right, why didn't you ask that? My husband and I will work that out. And so it was one of those kind of basic lessons, but so essential. And it's really carried with me because how does one know what you're looking to do if you don't tell them? It doesn't mean you're going to get it, but right. At least people know what you're aiming for.
Now we go to another critical takeaway. This is especially valuable for salespeople, especially, but really for anyone out there in the business world. No is not yet. Beth had this idea about creating the NBC Experience Store and was told no. Perhaps you could share that story.
The NBC Experience Store, for about 18 years it existed, but it follows when NBC opened the Today Studio in Rock Center. It was called The Window on the World, and people showed up. And there was a lot of great activity. And we said, how do we extend that? At the time, I was leading communications, but also our licensing and the NBC Page program. And we did tours of NBC. And so we thought, well, we have these assets. Why don't we make it more of an experience? Mm-hmm. People can come in. They can buy things from NBC. But they can, more importantly, get a tour, have an experience, and really extend it. And we love the idea of them walking around Manhattan with little NBC peacock bags.
This
it was just good marketing.
Great marketing.
And we went and pitched it to Bob Wright, the head of the network, head of the company, and he said no. The CFO is like, no, the ROI isn't big enough. And Bob said no. And we'd brought an integrated team together. We saw this. We knew it had to happen. And so we took some of the feedback. We actually found some consultants, and we went back again. Bob said no. We were like, we have to make this real. We made little dioramas. We got our budget better. We went back the last time, and Bob said, okay, yes. But he said something that really stuck with me. He looked at me, and he said, look, I wanted to say no. You know I tried to say no. But you made it so darn hard. And I'm not sure that was such a compliment, but I also realized he was testing me and the team. Do we have the stamina? Are we backing this idea really? Do we really believe in this idea?
Skin in the game.
He was making us make the idea better. Every time he sent us away, we took the challenge, we made it better. Mm. And so he was really testing our passion. And so I tell that story because it was so formative for me. One is you have to build a resilience when you're told no. Any salesperson knows this, any good salesperson, right? You're told no, you got to find a different way in. Maybe there's a different person to come back with, a different story. If you're building your career and a gatekeeper says no, is there a different way around
to get in?
And if you lead teams and the answer is no, there are good reasons to say no. I'm not suggesting you're setting yourself up to eventually say yes, but I'd love you to be open as a team leader that you may with enough hard work and give your team feedback. The answer is no, but here's what I need to see to have me consider it further.
As opposed to just no.
No. And I can't tell you how many times in business from just starting their career to C-suite, I saw people come in to get approval on something. They were told no, and you never heard from them again.
They disappeared.
And you're like, but I thought you liked that idea. They didn't.
They just threw in the towel.
Right? And so that's a test of yourself. If you're not willing to go back, maybe it's not meant to be. Maybe you're the wrong architect of it. Maybe it just isn't the right idea for you.
So staying on this thought, as far as dealing with setbacks, I'm going to read here on page 30 from the book. As I would see over and over again in my career, learning how to withstand disappointment is critical for anyone who hopes to affect change in an organization. Disappointment, delays, obstacles, recalcitrance, and resistance, they are inevitable in fomenting change. It is in how you handle yourself during the constant tussle between the thrill of a new idea and its adaptation that the real work lies.
It is. And it's back to where we started, the messiness of it, the frustration. You're like, this isn't going to happen. It is. It isn't. It is. And so you just have to be prepared for that. And again, it's a test of your resilience. Do you believe in it? And the thing is, I think is really important. What I had to learn is it wasn't about my idea. It's not about Beth had this idea. Do you want that idea to live? Do you care that somebody else takes it? No, because you want that idea to live.
Right.
And so ask yourself a bit, am I fighting for this because it's my ego, or am I fighting for it because I think it's the right idea? And I think that that kind of sense of mission will allow you to see through the toughness, the CFO saying, oh, the ROI is too bad, or whatever. Use it as a bit of a test.
Now we're going to move to something. This is like so critical in dealing with people. The way I always say it is that everyone has their mishigas. Everyone has their idiosyncrasies, their, I don't want to say craziness, maybe a little bit of that. But, okay, listen to this following story.
I think
I've always
been using mishigas wrong, so thank you for clarifying
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, mishigas means, listen, my wife here is watching, you know, everyone has, she knows my mishigas, you know, and you know, thank God we're happily married. We just celebrated our 25th anniversary.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. So, you know, we all have our mishigas. This is a great story about when you're dealing with Jack Welch. I got to say this one verbatim. Page 37 in the book. Jack loved getting press clips every day, just the way they appeared in the paper. We had a team that would come in at 5 a.m., cut them out, and get them ready with glue stick. And again, this goes back 30 years ago. Yeah. Glue stick, so that when he arrived, he would see not only his story and, you know, where it was on page 3 or whatever, but exactly where it was on the page. Now, Beth said, I decided I could do that more efficiently in an electronic format. Again, whatever the electronic format was in, back in those days. And hey, there was nothing Jack liked more than efficiency, right? It seemed like an easy innovation to me, right? Okay. Now, she handed it to Jack. Maybe take over from here.
Yeah, well, if I set the stage, the internet had just started to come into its own. We didn't need to do the old-fashioned way. And he kind of threw the paper in my face.
He said, what do you got? What do you got?
And I think I talk. He almost, his voice almost sounded like a garbage disposal. You know, and he kind of threw it at me. And he was like, save that for the next guy. I'm not going to make that change. And here was Mr. He was known in his time for making a lot of change. But I think it's also for all of us. There are just certain things we just like the way we like. But there probably are better ways to do it. It wouldn't have been hard for him to allow our team to try something to give us, but he didn't want it, and he was the boss. But we kept at it. I found different ways to do it, and the new guy came in, and we didn't give him those.
So Jeff took it the new way?
Jeff took it the new way. He was right.
Moving along, and page 40, okay, the magic of a handwritten note. Okay, now, Jack Welch was the head of 300,000 employees. Not everyone got a handwritten note, of course. But you have over here that there were lots of handwritten notes. Say, no one I've encountered can make everything personal the way Jack could. He made it personal for every GE employee, and that was tough. It's a brilliant managerial feat to create a culture in which, beyond not wanting to let your colleagues down, 300,000 people didn't want to let Jack down. And you write over here, there were lots of handwritten notes.
Yeah, yeah, he was amazing, that personal touch. I actually still have some notes he wrote to me. One, he used this beautiful black felt-tip pen, and he wrote very beautiful. He had very beautiful penmanship. And it meant the world to get a note where he took the time. And he made it part of his routine. Here was a guy known in business as Neutron Jack. Remember in the early days, he like took rid of all the people and left the building standing. But he really did care about people, and he wanted to make sure you knew he was watching and that he cared. And so I always thought here was somebody leading, you know, this huge multi-billion-dollar company, and he took time in his day to write notes to all kinds of people. Now, the notes were generally good on his card, but when you got a fax note from him on one of the press clips, like, why did you say this? It could also have a downside, too. So they also struck a bit of fear in people as well.
Now I'm going to get to that. And this is the concept on page 41 about being transparent, being brutally honest is a form of kindness. I want to read this. Yeah. This is really special. You always knew where you stood with Jack. To this day, I try to channel Jack's raw directness, making my leadership style as transparent and straightforward as possible. That meant getting over my small-town ideas about niceness, okay, that I learned while growing up, because being direct is actually being nice. Clarity, telling people where they stand, is a form of kindness. It is fair. Such an important point.
It's so important. And Jack had a abrupt way of doing it. He would, his style was to say, you're either a pig or a prince. First, I was never a princess. and he would come into your office and he would say, "You're a pig today," meaning you messed up. Here's what went wrong and here's why you have to fix it. I'm not happy about it or whatever. So, but you knew where you stood. Or he wrote you a nice handwritten note. Maybe you got a spot bonus and he said, "You're a prince. You're a prince. We got this deal. You did this," whatever. And I just really appreciated knowing where I stood. And I think, again, there's a bit of harshness. You don't have, I wouldn't suggest you call people a pig. I think hopefully died with the 80s. Right. But I think this notion of, here's a, I'm challenged with you, with your action right now. Here's, I'm giving you feedback. And you have to decide how to take it and deal with it. But you knew where you stood in those moments. And it was a real gift. And also for him to say, "This isn't going well," I needed to know that when it wasn't going well.
So being brutally transparent is a form of kindness.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, I really like Radical Candor. There's actually a book by Kim Scott I highly recommend.
Okay.
I think she has a really nice approach. It might be a good topic to discuss going forward. But she gives managers scripts to use with their folks, because I think we're not taught how to give that kind of candid feedback.
It could just come off as snobby or aloofness.
Or you don't call someone a pig. She gives you the language, the awkwardness to how to work over. And I think, again, we're not taught that. We're just thrown into it. Yeah. We think, hey, I want to manage people. And we have no toolkit that comes with it.
Moving along to the, I guess, science of perfection, especially at such a massive company, GE's intensity on performance and perfection. Every GE employee was trained in Six Sigma methodology. Perhaps you could talk about the Six Sigma.
Well, I was trained, but I was never a master black belt, so I can only give you a very cursory
ninjas,
view.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Six Sigma is about getting rid of defects in manufacturing. That's basically what, and Six Sigma is as close to perfection.
Got it.
I know if you're, you know, I in a manufacturing company, trust me, GE's jet engines are whatever Sigma they are. They work really well. It became a bit of a religion in the culture. Everyone had to study it. I was at NBC when it first came out and we were kind of struggling with what does it mean at NBC. And, it had its place in manufacturing. It is really good for that purpose. I kind of question, and I think I lived in the leadership aftermath of everything having to be perfect. Mm. When you're about innovation, defects are actually where the opportunity comes out.
Right.
And what happened is people started to look for the checklist. So less risk is taken, and things that are opportunities to innovate are looked at as things you got to get rid of. So that was maybe an unintended consequence of something that's actually quite meaningful in manufacturing.
We're going to take a short commercial break. My guest this evening is Beth Comstock. If you don't have the book yet, Imagine It Forward, Courage, Creativity, and the Power of Change. It's available at bookstores nationwide. In case you're just tuning in, not sure where you were the last 45 minutes, roughly, but we still have a couple more minutes with Beth. And in case you missed it, it will be available at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. That is the platform where every single episode here on this great program is archived. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. We can't, you know, believe it. We're counting our lucky stars. We have Beth Comstock in studio with us. Beth, thank you so much for joining us.
It's great to be here. I'm happy to see you in this new studio.
Thank you.
It looks fantastic.
Thank you. Well, you see, it was you that got us in here.
Well, it's nice.
Beth Comstock, she penned her book. It came out roughly 9 months ago. Imagine It Forward, Courage, Creativity, and the Power of Change. Everything that you need to know about building a business, scaling a business, growing it beyond your wildest imagination, it's here in this book. This is the blueprint. Now, of course, you have to use your imagination. I know that that's probably her favorite word in the English language. You'll have to use your imagination, but it's all here. You'll be able to, it doesn't say, okay, here's step one, here's step two, here's step three. No, but it reads like a real story because it is a real story. It's the true story of Beth's journey. And if you can't find how this is applicable, then I don't know what books you read. I don't know what inspiration you... I don't know. I'm sorry. For that, I don't have an answer. Because to me, I just... You know, I can't put down the book. Each time I read it, you see how I'm marking it up. Because it's all packed in here from so many different ways. And we've been covering it since the first minute of the show. In case you're just tuning in now, this show will be up by Tuesday morning at mybradio.com. mybradio.com. And you'll be able to watch the episode. In case you're listening, you gotta watch the episode. And here in this crazy cool studio, Stage 17, here at 77 WABC. And we thank James and the crew here that allowed us to be in this great studio for this show. So thank you to all, and of course to Beth.
Yes, thanks for having me.
So we move to page 44, okay? The next subject matter is such a critical area, especially in large corporations. You touched on this earlier, and we must get to this because... You know, if you're going to be creative and you're going to envision new ideas, you're going to make waves, and sometimes you may get entangled in petty politics. Let me read this quote here. It was my performance that would allow me to build the social capital that would give me the leeway to push on the way things were done when it was necessary. When your North Star is always the work and how to make it better, it keeps you from engaging in petty politics or hand-to-hand combat over personality issues. Putting the work first gives you a measure of protection. I needed that. I knew by acting as a change maker, I might never be liked or accepted. Ah, you know,
yeah,
scary to people.
It is scary to people. And I, as I document in later in the book, I did get caught up in hand-to-hand combat and politics often. So even if you know that, you don't often feel it, but it is scary. I mean, it's scary to think I'm doing something that people aren't going to like. But I still believe in that future. I still believe we've seen enough of the trends. We see that. We believe in that. Mm-hmm. Let's go forward.
Now, also, as you mentioned earlier, you still need to make sure that your actions demonstrate that it's for the good of the company.
Yeah.
So like this, someone hopefully will have your back. Someone at the top.
Well, and what part of your job, I talk about being this outsider inside. I realized my part of my role where I worked was to be the one that looked what was happening on the outside and try to translate it back inside. There weren't a lot of people doing it, so it was, again, an easy thing to grab and take hold of. But what you also realize is that in the early days, you don't even know what the new thing is or the idea yet. It's still early, and so you can't quite communicate it. So you need to come back many times to tell the story. You need to find different ways for people to understand it on their terms, which we'll talk about as we go forward. But just because you come in once and say, here's a new way of doing it, people are going to be like, what? They're not going to buy it. Rarely are they going to say, genius, let's go. I've never seen that happen.
But now we're going to talk about the flip side, and again, the danger of getting too comfortable. And I quote from page 50, the better we get at doing one thing, the less we want to work on something else.
Yeah.
What's more, we tend to surround ourselves with people who think like we do and reinforce our biases. I'm just going to quote a drop more. Business people love to talk about disrupting markets and industries, but we rarely put forth the effort to disrupt ourselves. It's just too hard.
It is. I mean, hiring people who are different than you, that is the first thing you can do. But why? And different from you in all kinds of dimensions. I don't just mean gender. I mean backgrounds. I mean thought. I mean, I worked for a lot of my career as a marketer. I'd love nothing more than a room full of marketers. But did we have the best ideas? No way. We had to bring in engineers and salespeople and lawyers. I mean, so are you constantly trying to bring in as many diverse perspectives? And I bet you're not. Most of us get comfortable. Well, we know the answer. We've done that before. Yeah. Well, what's different now?
And we're afraid of being challenged.
We're afraid of being challenged. Also, when you bring in different perspectives, it makes your job harder. Right. It means people don't like that. Maybe they're just shocked by that idea.
You have to be on the defensive sometimes.
Right, but you have to be willing to say tension is part of the job.
We move to page 50 into 51. This is just a great story. The time Jack Welch hung up on you. So she wrote it in the book. So, you know, you're going to say, like, why you bring this up to Beth now? But, hey, she wrote it in the book. Okay, here's what happened. She reached out to Jack, and imagine to my surprise, one afternoon I was on the phone with Jack when the line went dead. I called his assistant, Roseanne, and she said, you know, the line went dead on me. She said, no. Jack hung up on you. So, okay. She didn't just storm away. She walked upstairs and, you know, chastised. I walked up to Jack's office. Tell us, you know.
Well, Jack had called me into his office a few months before that hanging up on me. And he said, I'd come in from NBC and here I was working for Mr. Speed, Edge. Like everything was about getting it done fast and with Edge. And he said I was too abrupt. And he called me. He goes, like, you need to wallow in it. Do you know what I mean? I was like, no. He goes, I mean, like, you can't just, like, be done with your checklist and leave the meeting. Get to know people. Ask them how about their family. Take some time. Wallow in it. And he saw me, like, pack up my notes and leave the room, and I was gone. And so I heard him, but I clearly didn't, because months went by and he saw that same behavior. So he decided to use a bit of humor. Called me and hung up on me. And he said, see, you know, you're still doing it. And I love that lesson because it just shows a good teacher.
Right.
He was willing to commit time, but he used humor. And I didn't forget it. And not say I totally changed. It took me a long time.
Oh, you did. You're fine.
It's just that sense of now I always had that hang up in my mind.
We now move to page 51, the end of an era, the succession from Jack Welch to a new CEO. I don't know how you had the stomach for this. I'm going to ask if you lived on Rolaids or Tums. I mean, the process was narrowed down to three candidates. And like you mentioned in the book, Jack wanted this to be a public competition for one of the most powerful executive positions in the world.
Yeah.
And you were really one of a handful of people who kind of knew what was going on.
Well, it's interesting. Jack kept very close, probably just he, the head of HR and the board, knew the process. I had to get ready for the eventuality of one of three people taking over. So we had to get everything ready as if each one of them were going to take over. And if I take you back to this time, it was 2000. Sorry.
Right, because it was late in
the year 2000. Right. The world was breathless. You know, Jack had been named the CEO of the century, last century, and now we're in a new century. And people followed every detail about it. The media was obsessed with this story. So it was hard to do this. Most companies, you get a new CEO, great. This one was very different. And there was a lot at stake in the people watching. So we had to be on our toes.
We now move towards the end of section one and a couple of takeaways here. One is, for one to get out of their comfort zone, you recommend creating a permission slip. And you even have in the book, I give myself permission. Yeah. Can you talk about the permission slip?
Yeah, this is such a simple and maybe even silly hack, but I have found it really works. Many people listening may have filled out a permission slip in their mother's name when they were in high school to get out of something. I was too much of a fraidy cat, but it's that notion. When you're afraid to try something at work, you're afraid to pitch an idea, you're afraid to suggest a change. Often it's that fear, you know, we use a lot of excuses. Oh, the boss will never let us. We don't have enough money. Right. All those things may be true, but often ask yourself, is it I'm just afraid to try? So I would find this simple hack for myself, and I found it with colleagues who were coming up in their career. Take out a piece of paper and write, I, Beth Comstock, give myself permission to reintroduce myself to Ted Turner, to pitch an idea at that meeting, to go back to Bob Wright a second, third time to pitch that idea. Sometimes you just need a little bit of reinforcement. Again, kind of silly, but it works.
By writing it down, you're breaking that mental barrier.
Right. I used to teach a class at GE every month with new managers, and I gave them out. And I gave them out to, I kept a stack on my desk. When one of my colleagues would say they couldn't do something, I'd say, I bet you can. And I'd ask them if you feel comfortable at the class, especially, I'd say, if you feel comfortable, share it with me, because then now we're accountable. And I'd maybe text them in a month and say, did you do that? I got one letter from a woman once. She was just like, you know what? I landed a big deal because I gave myself permission to pull a team together of sales and engineering. And it wasn't done, but I did it and we landed the deal. And I love that. It's just something simple.
One last takeaway from the section, and that is, in order to make sure that you actually are moving forward with in executing some of your ideas, for one to hold themselves accountable to move forward, you recommend creating a monthly bucket list.
Well, it's in addition to, you know, instead of the bucket list we all know and the things we're going to do, this is really just your list of things you're holding yourself accountable for. What are those small things you're giving yourself permission to try to take a risk on? And do it on a monthly basis, and you get a great sense of accomplishment. What you hear from me, hopefully, are really behavioral hacks. It's getting your mindset shifted so you can take a new set of action. And they're really simple things. I mean, it's like going on a diet. It's like a workout. These are simple things. It's not to say we do them easily.
Great. Beth, thank you so much
thanks
for joining me here.
I'm so happy to be here. And thanks for the depth with which you're looking at the book.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Imagine It Forward, Courage, Creativity, and the Power of Change. Beth Comstock with Tal Raz. It's available at bookstores nationwide. This wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business. And tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.